Hello, welcome to a new episode of Rants with Danny Shee. Today is Monday, May 29th, just 48 hours after my previous recording. Very rare on the history of Rants with Danny Shee. I had a quite passionate rant for my last one about Mike Lowry on retiring and why I didn't like it. Now, this, as you can see from the title, this is going to be about that as well. During the recording, I got so caught into why I didn't like it and my main argument that I got lost in it. I kept on reiterating it and then try to double down on it, triple down on it. And I didn't really mention a lot of other stuff that was probably going to be quite useful. Some other stuff that I was going to bring up, but I just ran out of time or just didn't have... I didn't think that the show was at a place where... By the time I realized I wanted I wanted to move on. By the time I realized that it's way past where I should have put plugged the new stuff in. So, and obviously, last 48 hours, I have thought a little bit more about it, and the reason why I did bring up the World Baseball Classic in the beginning of the episode about improvement in Taiwanese baseball. Was because one of the biggest things I wanted to talk about was, you know, was going to link this Lowry thing with how, where we are as Taiwanese baseball, as an industry. And I didn't do that at all because, again, I was just so caught up in it. So if you're looking for some sort of, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said what I said, you can go ahead and turn this off and listen to something else. I am not doing that. In fact, I'm on the side, more on the side of doubling down than I am trying to walk back on my words. Let's see if I can try to give it a good start so I don't, you know, get myself caught up and make the same mistakes again. The reason why, besides everything I laid out last time, the reason why this thing bothers me, the reason why this thing upsets me, letting Mike Lowry on retire just to pitch one at-bat, and a real, by the way, I have to reiterate this, it's a real at-bat in a real game, okay? It's not an exhibition game. And that's really the main difference. You don't sacrifice a real game to make a marketing thing. My belief has always been, and maybe I'm ignorant, maybe I'm just too young to think otherwise. My belief has always been, in the best marketing strategy is to have a good product. And marketing serves the product, but the product shouldn't be used to serve marketing. What I mean by marketing, like, market research is a huge part. Sometimes you build something based on market research, right? But this is not, like, I'm talking about when a product is being built or has been built and you're creating marketing strategy for something, you don't tell the product development to go back and change something about the product for the purpose of marketing. Market research is, you know, like, you realize people don't want this, so you go back to people and you go change that. But my point of it is not about market research, because market research is kind of part of marketing, but I'm talking about post product design marketing. I've always held the belief that marketing serves products, but not the other way around. You don't design a product just for marketing's sake, especially when you're trying to create a great product, something that's sustainable, something that's long-term, and you want to build something that's great. And I think that is what we want Taiwanese baseball to be. We don't want it to be a short-term cash cow, gimmicky marketing thing that's just going to sell a couple t-shirts. Even if that was true, we've been tremendously failing for the last 30 years because the CPBL and its franchises have not been profitable. So, for, you know, in this case, the CPBL product is the game itself and the competition itself. And Mike Lowry coming back, unretiring, coming back to pitch one at bat, there is almost next to zero benefit from the competition side of things, from the point of view of Mike Lowry pitching does not benefit the Fubon Guardians at all as a baseball team. You're risking your team by letting a retired pitcher go out there and pitch. Now, you can sit here and argue that at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because nothing bad had happened. Lowry got out and he left. Okay, fine. But you're still putting an unwarranted or unnecessary risk out there that could have potentially harmed your baseball team for the benefit, when there's no benefit on the baseball team itself besides you can sell more t-shirts at the store at the end of the day. And you can, you know, you can market this, you can PR this, make it good for your team. But on the field, the real things, I mean, in my opinion, the things that matters for the CPBL, the core of the product that is professional baseball, is the competition itself, and you're sacrificing that just for a quick buck on one particular day. And then you can sell more books, right? So you can sell more autobiographies, Lowry's autobiographies. I didn't like that. I hate that notion, and I don't believe in that notion that you're sacrificing part for product for a marketing splash, for a marketing gimmick. Now, you can sit here and say, well, the Guardians fans liked it, and that's all that matters because the marketing thing worked and nothing bad happened on the field. Yes, nothing bad happened now. But what you've done is creating a precedent, or you've created basically an example of a baseball team, not treating the competition seriously enough, where they think that bearing a huge risk for the baseball team for the benefit of just purely marketing or gimmicky marketing campaign, marketing strategy, that we can risk this baseball competition to let a retired player pitch in an actual game. And I understand the magnitude of this honor. I understand why, like, in terms of the importance of this moment, having a domestic player pitch, having that on official records, I understand all of that. That's why I mentioned you should use the All-Star Game, because the All-Star Game by itself is an exhibition and it's on the official record books. So you are not diluting the product in any way, form of imagination, because All-Star Game itself is about a celebration of the best of the best. And Mike Lowry is the best of the best. And if you also want to add the benefit of having Lowry pitch as a domestic player for the first time in the record books, the All-Star Game is the perfect avenue for that. And certainly not the using an officially, you know, official competitive game of a professional sports league to do so. I can't really understand the lack, and this is, you know, there isn't a lot of blowback from Taiwanese baseball fans. There isn't a lot of conversation about what I'm talking about. There isn't a lot of, you know, there just isn't a lot of conversation about this, which I would have understood more if there wasn't a huge debate or conversation that happened months ago, a few months ago, during the same season, about Shoot Eaters. Because I understand why baseball fans would not be happy about teams like the Raccoon Monkeys, who it looks like right now putting a lot of marketing effort into their cheerleaders and not their baseball team, even though they're the Raccoon Monkeys professional baseball team. And I understand that argument. I understand that argument, and that is kind of close with what I am suggesting, which is, are you a baseball team or entertainment marketing or entertainment management group of the cheerleaders? You know, like, are which one are you? Like, you're a baseball team, but you're focusing so much on cheerleaders. Like, make sure you're focusing on the right things. In this case, the Guardians. Okay, let's not move on to the Guardians yet. And for the Monkeys, I understand that, and I feel a little bit I kind of feel the same way in many ways, but I didn't feel that was such a big deal to talk about it, because at the end of the day, the cheerleaders are on the sidelines. They are not actually diluting in any way the actual product of the game. In fact, they're actually drawing more people into baseball games in Taiwan to watch games. Now, some of them are only there to see cheerleaders, but at the end of the day, the teams are making those ticket revenues to put back into the baseball team while not diluting the competition of those baseball games. They're not paying players less. Now, that it's another conversation if after a few years we come to realize the Monkeys take all of their ticket revenue, pays it to the cheerleaders and not to the teams because they realize the cheerleaders are a bigger draw. That at that point I will have a problem with. But the Monkeys have the highest payroll, public payroll. What do I mean public? The CBBL teams don't actually release their payrolls. They only release some players that, you know, of their salaries. And so out of all the public figures, the Monkeys have the highest salary, team salary in by on average. They pay their players the highest on average, and they're the second in the median of which the salaries are public. If you want to learn more, you can check out my Twitter timeline. It's pinned to the top. I made a whole graph dashboard on Tableau that you can interact with and stuff like that. It's really pretty cool. I spent quite a lot of time, a few hours on it, and I wish, you know, if you I was just hearing about this now, you can go ahead and check it out. But the cheerleaders don't dilute the competition of the baseball games, the core product of the league, which is the competitive nature of the baseball games itself. What the Lori thing did was it dilutes, or it in a way disrespects or puts it very lightly of what the competition is about, and rather than treating the competition like it is one, you're treating it like a marketing gimmick. Now I'm moving on to a bigger point and a stronger point, and not just really a stronger point, more of a spin-off of a bigger phenomenon that I want to point out. I think the lack of attention being put on this, and the lack of attention being put on what this represents in terms of diluting the competition and diluting the competitive aspect of a sports league, the lack of attention, lack of debate, the lack of conversation talked about in Taiwanese baseball circle is emblematic. I'm talking about emblematic about why Taiwanese baseball, in front of international tournaments and in front of the international baseball community, is where it is today. We can sit here and say, it doesn't really matter. We're just out here having fun. It doesn't really matter. Nobody's talking about it anyway. Nobody's having a bad time about it. Well, The reason behind people are not having a bad time about it is because the fans are not treating the CBBL seriously. Or to less of an extent, they probably don't treat it as seriously as people should as a competition. And my biggest problem about this, and I try to stress it again and again, I hope I made my point, which is I'm not really mad at the fans. I'm more mad at the franchise itself, who's supposed to be, who should be treating this most serious out of every other teams in even they should be treating this more seriously as a competition than more than any other person in the world, because you should be treating this, you should be treating the championship as the highest honor you should get, and the more serious you are, the less you would use it as a marketing gimmick. And that's exactly what they did. And I've come to realize that I think the reason why, well, let's come back to this. When I was looking at the World Baseball Classic, and after the World Baseball Classic, there were some conversations in Taiwanese baseball about how we should improve. And it is much deeper than we need to develop better pitchers. It is much deeper than we need to expand the high school tournament team numbers. It's much deeper than that. Right now, if you are a Taiwanese parent and you're raising your kid, playing baseball is not your, well, playing sports overall, but especially baseball, is not the top priority. It's not the top priority for schools. Their school, it's not, building as, and having a sustainable competitive baseball team is not a focus by this, by the public schools and private schools in Taiwan. At the end of the day, that's really what matters. Is between 2 to 3 weeks after each major international tournaments, we sit down and we talk about, as I'm talking about the Taiwan as a community, as a country, we sit down and why are we so bad at baseball? Why can't we be Japan or the U.S.? Well, sorry, they treat baseball more seriously in Japan and the U.S. and in Korea. It's not just, I can sit here and say Taiwan's population is less than a tenth of the U.S., less than half of Japan, and actually less than a third of Japan, less than half of Korea's, and that's why we don't win. But it's also, we don't treat baseball seriously enough. We're not, the next step, the real next step that can push Taiwan to the next level is improving on stadiums, improving high school, improving access to baseball, improving school facilities, just very stuff that it takes a lot of commitment and real hard conversations that takes more than a month or two to really take place and to really make, to see it work. We're now talking about long-term commitments, long-term, serious about 5 to 10 year plan that can, we're talking about building baseball facilities, training facilities, making sure each school has a baseball team, having coaches, having the infrastructure for coaching to be accessible, having for adults to have the ability to get education so they can become a professional coach, and then using, we're talking about a whole infrastructure and an improvement on a new system that can systematically churn out high quality talent every generation, every couple years. This takes a lot. And it's not something that one league or one particular franchise or one particular commissioner can fix. It takes a village to do something like that. And it takes an entire country to sit down, or many of the very powerful people to sit down and start talking about this seriously. Because it becomes a part of education reform, sports reform. How we treat sports as an industry, is becoming an athlete going to be a sustainable career where parents can look at it and say, okay, I'm going to let my kid pursue a career in sports. Right now in baseball, yes, like you look at the CPBL, yes, you can get a pretty good career out of it. But what's the risk, benefit, and risk? You're trying to mitigate the cost, maximize the benefit. And I can quite confidently tell you that right now, among it's part of the culture, it's not part of the traditions. It's not just a, you know, it's not all on baseball per se, but sports overall in Taiwan needs to grow. Baseball needs to grow, and for us to take that next step, it takes a village. It's a big time commitment, and it's a serious conversation that people need to have. But at the end of the day, big conversations, serious conversations like this among the general public or the mainstream public is hard to do. That's the Taiwanese improvement part, the Taiwanese baseball improvement part that I've been able to shrink it down to a couple of 5-10 minutes. I was going to do a whole episode on it, but this is just an overview of why. An overview of what I think Taiwanese baseball need to do to really take the next step, to really be, you know, Japan. Just look at the Japanese baseball infrastructure. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculously meticulous. I think that's the word. It's serious. They're doing it. They're going after it. The USA. Not like how many baseball fields do you see everywhere? Like that's like. How easy is it to access baseball facilities? It's getting a little bit tougher every now and then if you compare it to basketball or football. But at the end of the day, baseball is still such a popular sport in the U.S. And there's enough people caring about it seriously as a sports avenue and at the top of it all, at the top of USA Baseball and Major League Baseball, enough people care about it seriously as a competition where a whole entire profitable industry has been built to keep churning this machine. Now coming back to Taiwan. The reason I was mad was because, again, we are trying, or I really hope that one day, and probably at this point, I'm much more pessimistic. I want to see, I don't know if how to phrase this correctly. Taiwanese baseball or Taiwan needs to treat baseball seriously in order to really take that next step. And that next step is something that I want to see. I would love to be able to be part of something that can help Taiwanese baseball take that next step forward and improve. And the first step, and I thought, and now, you know, this is a step before the first step that I thought was going to be. The first step really is to treat baseball as a serious industry, as a real industry. And that's tough to do. And I talked about, I talked about last time about the legitimacy of a competition. In order for people to treat Taiwanese baseball seriously, people would have to treat the CPBL seriously. Because the CPBL right now is the emblem of Taiwanese baseball. It employs the most amount of Taiwanese baseball players in the world. It houses the most amount of baseball related staff of Taiwanese people in the world. And it's a huge mechanism or a huge stage that's being put in front of TV every day in Taiwan for people to see and for high school, middle school players to have something to dream about or to fight after, right? So, and that's really, it motivates them to improve and motivates them to treat baseball seriously as a sport because it could become a career. It's the single most, it's the league that employs and benefits Taiwanese baseball the most. Taiwanese baseball goes about as high as CPBL goes. And we are at a point where not even the CPBL's own franchises treat the CPBL seriously. That's the point I'm trying to make, which is even one of their own franchises, which its sole purpose is to win a CPBL championship, cannot treat the competition they're a part of seriously as a competition. Because if you do, you wouldn't trot out a retired pitcher to throw an exhibition-like at-bat in a real competitive game. You're showing the world that you're actually treating this more like an exhibition than you are a competitive game. And that was a step back, in my opinion. Everybody in the world can treat the CPBL as a joke and as an exhibition and as a runaway league, but only without, but not those, the teams and the players that's actually involved. Because again, I go back to the same thing I said last time. If you can't respect yourself as a competition, how do you expect other people to respect you as a competition? And that's the most disappointing part for me. And that is why I am very unhappy about this. I want people to treat the CPBL as a competitive sports league. It is hard enough to do so, to convince people the same of this in Taiwan, the general public, because of its history. And my job was to convince people abroad for doing this. Now, that's not really related to the Mike Lowry thing. I'm not, you know. But that's a huge hurdle, and that is a huge task for the CPBL to fix or to tackle in order for the CPBL to grow or to become a more significant entity in not just world baseball but in Taiwan. You know, the bigger the CPBL is in Taiwan, the more people treat it like a competition, the more fans see it as a real baseball league, the better it is for the league. And obviously that draws foreign attention and stuff like that. That's why Dylan Covey was such a cool story, because Dylan Covey being back in Major League Baseball, pitching for the Dodgers, pitching for the Phillies, because with the way he pitched in CPBL in the last couple seasons, and then having the ability to be a quad A player and make starts in Major League Baseball and perform the way they did, you know, what was that last one was Manny Banuelos for the Yankees, you know, like these are the first steps for Major League Baseball franchises and their scouts to treat the CPBL potentially as a more serious league, and they could look deeper into it. Now, that's one, and again, that becomes how, like, who, that becomes at back to the original point, which is we are trying to make the CPBL a convincing product, a convincing professional baseball product. And this Mike Lowry thing is a step backwards of that. And that was the point I was trying to make last time. And today, I think I explained a little bit of why this, you know, this is such a big deal for me and why I still feel the same way that I do. If we continue treating the CPBL and Taiwanese baseball, and we, not just fans, but like as Taiwan, the more we treat baseball as a once out of 4 year or 2 years, if you're kind of Premier 12, once every 2 year kind of nationalistic, hey, it's a cool thing, let's go win something, and then every time we get disappointed, we start blaming the baseball people, but then you don't even, Taiwan is not big enough, it's not big enough for people to blame the industry, and then just turn away and then come back 4 years later and see and expect to see significant improvement when us as a country isn't on the same boat rowing at the same direction. We're not big enough for that. We're not good enough to be like that. If we really want to take a step forward, we need to have a serious conversation on how to approach this problem, how to make sure baseball is an accessible sport for everyone, for kids, for so people can maybe pick up on baseball. Maybe they like it, they still playing, and then they see a career in front of them, and maybe, oh, if I pursue baseball, I can have a real career instead of being an engineer, and so forth and so forth. And Taiwan is not big enough for people to turn a blind eye on it. It has to be a serious conversation that more than what we have in the industry thinks about right now. The baseball, Taiwanese baseball industry has been able to make something of very little. We're top in the world rankings, we're top two, but you know, we all know at the toppest level of professional and adult baseball, Taiwan is at least top five in terms of talent, in terms of a professional league that houses top talents. You know, I can confidently say that the CPBL is in a healthier place than a lot of winter leagues in Latin America. But at the end of the day, you know, we're like the Tottenham Hotspurs, really. We think we compete for the world championship, but we're actually not even close. You look at how we play in the World Baseball Classic, and then you look at how Japan and Mexico play in the semifinals, how Japan and the U.S. play in the finals. We're not close. We're not close. We're up to a point where we're good, but in order to take the next step to become great, that's a huge step that takes the entire country. And that takes a village to achieve, to take that next step. And for us to do that, we need to convince people to jump on the boat and let's row together. But this lorry thing is the other way around. When you're telling them, hey, you know, whatever, you know, jump on a boat, you know, treat baseball seriously, whatever. Because, you know, us as a franchise of the CPBL, we're not really treating the CPBL seriously. Anyway, we're letting a retired pitcher pitch in a competitive game. Well, thank you so much for listening. It's another 30-minute episode, and I hope I've been more articulate here. I feel like I'm a lot less ranty today. It's a much less emotional, and one of the reasons why I did a little bit of a drive, just driving for fun, and then that's when I start thinking about stuff, and I think I've been able to, during the drive, put enough structure together where I can talk about this without again going off the rail. So thank you so much for listening, hopefully the Monkeys will win the championship, and we'll see you guys next time.